But with music, I'm not even remotely musical, so I could just fully appreciate it, you know? So, like, watching that show, there's something about watching, like, a live show like that, watching some badass musicians get up and fuck around together like that. It's like, damn, like, this is a very special feeling that you guys can put out there, you know? Very special party appreciation performance feeling. You know, that's an unusual vibe, man. The vibe that you guys put out that night, that was fucking fun.
It was a good time.
What's the matter? We're back up? Yeah, no, it was a real good time, man.
That was totally. In fact, it was one of you, either you or Dana, that were like, "Yo, they're calling you," because I was so drunk, I was just in my own conversation.
Yeah, they were on stage calling.
Like,
you.
"Yo, Everlast." I was like, "What?"
Yeah, and folks, when I tell you, he went up with no preparation. I mean, from walking up to the stage, you had a drink in your hand still. And you're like, "We know what it's like.
Yeah,
let's do this shit."
Yeah.
So, you know, you're ready. And there was no warming up. You just went right into it and nailed it. That was beautiful, man. That was a real moment.
I think the liquor helped everybody.
Fuck yeah, it did, and it did in a good way, man. There's something about liquor, man. Look, I know it accelerates the aging process. I know it's one step closer to the grave, but I swear to God, it makes the days a little more fun.
Yeah,
you know,
there's nothing wrong with a whiskey.
It makes
here and
some
there, man.
Nighttime experiences a lot more interesting. People get crazy. I have great stories. You can't tell me. I don't have some awesome memories. You know, it's not all bad. And when you can perform like that, boom, and you think you could just say, "I think the liquor helped me." Liquor and the reefer, but then whatever the fuck helped you, that's a good thing. That has to be a good thing.
I ain't mad about it.
Has to be a good thing. It's one of the art forms I could really truly appreciate.
I think it was the least I could have done. I think the Hard Rock like flew me out there, put me up. Like, not even on the promise. I didn't sign no contract saying I'd get on stage. I was just there to go to the fight. They like when I'd stay there. They're always treating me like a king there.
And that was the glory days of Vegas.
And yeah, that was, you know, I haven't been in like since the baby's been born. 2 years, man. I got to go to a fight. But I'm not going. I've been to one UFC on New Year's weekend. I think it was even on New Year's Eve. It was on the 30th.
Well, this weekend's going to be mobbed because it's New Year's weekend. It's Brock Lesnar versus Aleister Overeem.
The way they shut the street down. Yeah. It's like New York Times Square. I've done it.
Yeah.
Been there, done that.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah. You know chaos. I mean? Craziness.
New Year's Eve for me is a night to just sit at the house.
Yep.
And chill and watch Dick Clark.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
does Dick Clark still rock
it? He counts it down.
Does he still?
He still comes and counts
so
it down.
Sad too.
And he's had a stroke, right?
Yeah, he could barely talk. It's really hard.
He gives it a good. He gives it. Hey, man.
Why not?
What's he like? 109.
How old is he?
He's like 109.
The joke was the joke. For the longest time, the joke was that Dick Clark was like that. He never aged.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he aged. That's what we.
Yeah.
Dick Clark is the devil.
He created the bloopers and practical jokes.
Did he?
I think he created America's funniest home videos, too, if I'm not mistaken.
He's original.
That dude got money.
Yeah. And he's still working.
Paper.
Isn't it amazing? Still working.
Him and Merv go to Vegas. Imagine that party.
Just bitches all over the place. But Merv Griffin didn't like bitches.
Oh.
Right?
I don't know.
Pretty sure he didn't.
Like shit, more for dick.
Yeah, I think he was more of attracted to the gentleman.
You know?
They just had a goddamn crazy wild orgy back in the day. You could get away with some shit back then.
Yeah.
No TMZ.
You know, some real like Hogan's Heroes shit, right?
Did you ever see that movie? Autofocus?
I actually saw the first half of it just the other night. I didn't finish watching it though, but it intrigued me enough that I had to go or something. And but it was on. I was like, man, this is. I didn't know. It was on. I didn't even know it was about dude from Hogan's Heroes. You know? I was like, what is this? Craig Kinnear's kind of, this is weird.
That's
and then I was like, I caught on. I was like, oh, it's the Hogan's Heroes guy. I was like, he went out crazy.
Yeah, it's a wild movie, man. I don't think they ever solved his murder either. I think his murder is still up for investigation. They think it was the guy that he was buddy-buddy with, but they couldn't prove it.
William Dafoe guy?
Yeah, the William Dafoe guy. They think that's what they insinuated in the movie, right? I might be talking
about my
ass.
I didn't see the back
half. Google that. Find out if they ever found out his killer. What the hell was his real name?
Bob something.
Bob.
Crane?
Bob Crane. Yes, you're right. Bob. Bang. Yeah, that was a weird movie, man. The movie just got obsessed with making his own porn.
Yeah.
Him and his buddy would just make porn every night. They just got obsessed with like having orgies and making porn. You know, and then it went all wrong when the dude grabbed his ass in the movie.
Yeah, I didn't see. I didn't catch up to that part.
It's always one dude who has to take shit too far.
Wow, we got a good thing, dude.
Good thing going. We're all boning in the same room together.
Just, hey, man, somebody could get murdered behind that.
That's exactly what probably happened.
Yeah. This is Bob Crane's murder now ruled suicide from March 4th, 2011.
He said not ruled.
Now ruled.
What? I thought he was bludgeoned to death.
No, I don't think he was bludgeoned to death. Well, I thought it was... Wasn't that autoerotic?
No, that was
David Carradine and the NXS dude.
How messed
up is that, dude? You're not the kung fu guy no more, man. No, you're not him, dude. You're that guy that died in the closet now.
Jerking off with a wetsuit.
Like,
on.
Wow, dude. Wow, man. That's just.
Wow, it says murder may have been gruesome, drawn out suicide.
What? That sounds like somebody paid somebody off. They thought it was murder for years. They thought he was bludgeoned to death, I'm pretty sure. Why don't you look up Bob Crane cause of death? Because I'm pretty sure Homeboy was, like, bludgeoned to death. I mean, didn't they insinuate that in the movie? Did the movie take some Oliver Stone-like leaps of faith?
I'm sure it
might
did.
Have.
Yeah. They that might was have. Made before 2011.
I had explained to somebody that was talking to me about Oliver Stone. They, you know, they were talking to me about that JFK movie, which I loved. It was a great movie and a fascinating movie.
A movie.
But I was talking to a guy, and I was like, it was a good movie, but it's not necessarily the truth. And he goes, oh, yes, it is. And I go, no, you know that old general that gives him all the information, Donald Sutherland? That guy didn't really exist.
Yeah, he doesn't exist.
He doesn't exist. He's not a real dude. So you got it. It's a movie now. Now who knows what the fuck is going on? This guy just, like, he just threw some serious liberal agenda in there.
We need a guy.
We need a hero.
We need a guy that
stands up for truth.
A deep throat character. Yeah. We need one of these.
I had this dude on yesterday. His name is Michael Rupert, and he's a guy who was a LAPD narcotics investigator, caught the CIA selling heroin in the hood. And went public with it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know who you're talking about.
I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
yeah. I've seen him in a few different, like, films.
Dude, he was fucking my head up yesterday, man. That's a guy who really did do that. He's a guy who really was a good cop who stood up and said, fuck this. This is not what we're supposed to be doing.
Serpico'd.
Yeah, he Serpico'd and somehow stayed alive.
That's crazy.
I wish you would have been able to see his face when I asked about Tupac, because it was kind of weird.
You know, I got an email. I sent you an email. I forwarded you an email. A guy got upset at the photo that you used for the webpage. For, like, you know, you froze, like, an image.
Right.
Is that randomly created? Or
I just pretty much go, oh, he's laughing here.
He had a good rant. And I looked at the picture. I'm like, why is everybody getting more fucking sensitive? It seems like people are getting more entitled. They want more apologies. They want you to accept.
Dude, when you were young.
What's the picture? I don't even know.
When you were young.
It's not bad at all. He's ranting.
You couldn't pick up a device and tell Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin, like, you suck balls, man. You didn't sign my record.
Yeah, no shit.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, they missed out on all the negativity.
You know, what I'm saying is, like, it's just crazy. Like, I have a hard time dealing with a lot of the whole technology, man. Like I said, because it's like, wow, man, people really wild out. I mean, for every beautiful, I mean, I get a lot of nice stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's weird how, like, sometimes that one thing, that it could be one thing in a week. Like, you get one bad little thing, and you're like, oh, you motherfucker. Like,
and they come after you, you know, and they don't understand that sometimes, you know, you're just throwing shit out there. Sometimes you're just throwing shit out there. You got an idea, and someone fucking tweet this.
I actually got it pretty good, probably, compared to you. I've never looked at your timeline, like, your mentions.
People are usually really friendly to me. Yeah. You know,
Once in a while, like, a 14-year-old wakes up and discovers that battle I had with Eminem and decides to write me a message on how much I suck, and, you know, I'm the, you know.
You're going to have to deal with that. Little cowards who want to jump in on the fight and get their shots in.
I don't care. It's
funny
to me. It's cool, man.
I'm sure it is.
It's like, that's what I'm like, man. And if I could have wrote something to, like, somebody, like, famous, it's like, I don't know. Would it just have been like, you suck ass?
Yeah, what would you have done when you were
14?
I mean,
at least be funny, man. Right. Like, I used to have a thing. I used to go to, I went to, like, when the Staples Center opened up, me and B-Real from Cypress Hill, we both had season tickets the first three championship years. I went every single game, man. And we sat pretty close to the floor. And I became kind of well known for being, you know, a bit of a heckler because I would get the players' attention. And it was always like, because, like, I tried to say something funny or stupid or clever. Right. I never was like, you suck and your mom's a whore. You know, because there was, like, already 1,000 guys that they learned to tune out.
Right.
Like, I remember the first time I ever got a guy was Grant Hill. He was on the free throw line and something had happened to his eye in the game where he had a Band-Aid on the eye, and it was, like, just peeling a little bit off. And right as he was about to take his shot, I yelled, "Grant, fix your Band-Aid." And he, like, I could see him giggle, and he misses the shot, right?
That's hilarious.
And Shaq turns around and looks over, and he's, like, laughing. You know, he's giggling. So I learned from that day on. It was like, oh, you got to say something funny. If you say something funny to these dudes,
you'll
get them every time.
I went to the fights at the New Orleans once. You ever go to New Orleans in Vegas? A smaller casino.
Yeah.
They have, like, you know, less known fights there. I went with Doug Stanhope, and me and Stanhope were getting hammered. And as we're getting hammered, Stanhope starts yelling at the boxers. We're in the undercard. And the undercard of a boxing match is very different than the undercard of a UFC match. You don't hear shit. You hear a few conversations in the audience, but it's really generally fairly quiet the first couple fights of the night. So while these guys are fucking duking it out in the front, we're in like the second or third row. Stanhope's going, "Hold him down and fuck his face. It'll destroy his confidence." He's yelling every 10 seconds. He has a new one. "Wait till the end of the round, then throw your hands up in the air and say, 'You've been punked.'" He kept, like, every 10 seconds he would come up with some new heckle. And we were just laughing. I'm like, these poor fucks, they have to fight in a championship fight while someone's yelling, like, the most ridiculous shit. They have to be hearing this. There's no way they're not hearing this.
I wish they would let that in tennis. That would be hilarious.
Oh, it'd be amazing. Yeah, why does tennis get to be the same thing with pool and golf?
Because they're emotional.
Yeah, when you're playing pool, man, you know, professional pool matches, if you're talking on the sidelines, they'll fucking kill you.
There's not, you know, pool tables aren't like, you know, in bars all around the world. You know, people don't learn how to play pool.
They do, but there's a big difference between bar table pool and professional pool that's played for like big money. When those guys play, those guys don't want any talking. Those guys don't fuck around. Those guys are killers. You know, they just want to run out. They don't want to hear you chewing your gum. They don't want to hear you making your text messages with your fucking clicker on.
But they want their prize money that comes from the cat paying to get in the door.
They do. They do. It's an enigma. They want to be treated like golfers do, but there's no money in it, unfortunately. It's a weird thing because a lot of people play pool. This is really hard to make a living as a professional pool player. It's pool to me is like an art form that only the people who play it can appreciate.
Yeah, I'm going pro on the dart circuit soon.
Darts are badass too. Something about control in anything, whether it's playing pool or darts or fucking even, you know, what's that game? The fucking shuttle thing with a
foosball?
Foosball, yeah. That thing. Even that. I mean, there's something about controlling things, you know?
Yeah.
We can get very easily addicted to distractions of controlling things.
Darts are fun.
Darts are fun.
I like going to the countries. Like, you go to Canada and automatically I'm a curling fan. You know, you put on the TV, go to England and I'll find like a darts match to watch on TV, like network TV.
I caught myself watching curling. I was in like Nova Scotia watching people curling on TV.
It's a great sport, man.
I wouldn't go that far, but it's fascinating that people are still considering it.
It's good TV.
When
there's no other TV to be had, it's good TV.
It is kind of interesting. You know, they're trying to put that thing perfectly. The idea of controlling something with just the right amount of push, you know. It's really the same thing with pool. It's just the right amount of push to get the next ball in the perfect position. Yeah, there's a weird thing that people have with wanting to control their environment. It's all just symptomatic of our inability to control our own lives, and we know that it's all going to end. You know, we want to control other things around us. We want a fucking Rubik's Cube in 13 seconds, you know. We want to control as much as we can around us.
Right.
Video games, shit.
I don't want to control anything, man.
What do you want to do Everlast from the House of Pain?
Just in case any of y'all needed the pedigree. I don't know, man. I just want to make music, you know, smoke an occasional joint and
have a
little whiskey, hug my daughter.
You got an awesome life. You got an awesome way to make a living, you know. Yeah. You figured out a way to express yourself for a living.
To be honest, dude, I'm lucky in the sense that if I didn't want to live any kind of extravagant life, which I really do because I'm just kind of a flamboyant dude, you know what I mean?
Would you consider yourself a baller?
No.
If somebody ever asks you, though?
No. I'm trying to be a saver.
Saver.
Trying. I went from just all out spending. I would just, whatever I made. Before I got married and had a kid, whatever I made, I spent.
I know what you mean.
Just never thought twice about it.
Yeah, that's the recklessness of bachelorhood with money. Yeah.
Like, I thank God every day because that jump around song's like Louie Louie, man. That motherfucker's never going away, dog.
Never going away.
That's never going away, dog.
I used to love it when Marcus Davis was in the UFC because I knew I was going to get to hear it.
You know,
I gave you a bunch of shout outs while I was playing.
I know, I'm always watching too. I would usually text you if the number hadn't changed that week.
Yeah, he was mad at me. He thought that I was.
No, I sent you a text. I'll tell the story. I was sitting there baked watching one of the UFCs. It was like maybe two ago. And I was like, man, Joe's, because I watched Strikeforce. I watched a bunch of the other stuff. And I'm not putting anybody down, dude. But I can't stand any commentator. Most of it, I don't listen to the commentators. I like will turn it down and just kind of watch and have some music going or something else, and because usually I got some peoples around and we'll talk our own shit. But we listen to Joe Rogan like call a fight. You know what I mean?
Oh, thank you.
I don't even listen to most if you ain't Jim Lampley, I ain't fucking with you calling a boxing match on that kind of thing. So I was just so high. I texted you. I was like, man, you a bad motherfucker, dude. Like, and I think one of your specials had just been on, and we were laughing about that shit. I was like, you a funny motherfucker, and you're gonna be like the Chick Hearn of MMA. It's like you're gonna go down into history. And I was like, and I just sent it and didn't even think twice. Next day I woke up, I was even kind of like, oh man, I was so high. Look what I sent Joe. I was like, I just sent Joe this. Sloppy ass like.
Send him a tampon.
Like ass kissing like compliment. I was like, but that motherfucker didn't even say thanks, man. He didn't even say thank you, man. I was like, whatever, dude. And then they were like, yo, you got my new number, man?
That's hilarious.
That was funny.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
I hate that, though.
Well, at least I got you quick enough. I got in a wall of contact.
How many days?
I made it inside.
Like I said, within one fight cycle.
Within a couple of weeks.
So there was a good week that you were just like, fuck you,
motherfucker.
Not fuck Joe, but like, god damn, man.
Insensitive bitch. Trust you with my love and friendship.
Yeah, man, I give you love like that?
Yeah. I agree, man. If someone sent me...
You don't even blush a little bit, man.
You're like writing a song about it.
I ran into people that told me they wrote me incredible emails, and I'm like, I might not have got it, man. I'm so sorry. Shit slips by.
It's like, I called him the Chick Hearn MMA, man.
I texted my name.
Isn't it... I mean, I said earlier what Anthony Bourdain said to me, and that's one of the things that I was thinking when I was hanging out with you in Vegas. I was like, how cool is this? I'm here smoking weed in a club with Everlast from the fucking House of Pain. Is that one of the coolest things about being famous? Or you just get to hang out with a bunch of other cool, famous people?
When cats come up to you that you like wanted to meet you first is like, that's exciting. Like, you'd be like, oh, man. Like, I remember first time I went to the Grammys for House of Pain, we were sitting there. We were just jazzed to be in the room and whatever. And we get tapped on the shoulder and we turn around and it's all, except for Bono, the rest of you too, like the Edge, and Bono was off doing some stuff, but they communicated to us like, yo, we're huge fans, we love it. We were like, you're fucking you too, man.
Wow.
That's
crazy.
That's nutty.
That's
man.
Fucking crazy.
It's crazy, man.
Whew.
So, that happened. That kind of shit is mad cool. You know what I mean? For me, it was like, I was, I got, the fights were always kind of that for me when one of the fighters would come up and be like, yo, I love your music.
That is amazing.
Because that's something I get to fanboy out on a little bit,
Like, how many other guys came out to your shit besides Marcus? Because I know other guys come out to it too, right?
I don't know.
A few, right?
Yeah, I mean,
come on, that's a great, get fired up for a fucking battle song.
I have other, like a group, La Coga Nostra, Nick Diaz came out to one of them songs when he came out for Pride for that fight with what was the dude he beat him up to?
Gomi?
Takanori Gomi.
Great fight.
Yeah, yeah. Came out to like a La Coga song. It was kind of dope.
And his brother fucked Gomi up. As bad as Nick Diaz fucked Gomi up, Nick Diaz and Gomi were in a battle that Nick Diaz won.
Yeah.
Nate Diaz fucked Gomi up.
We had the inside line on that too. I love the Diaz brothers.
Nate Diaz is on a new level right now. He's fighting, he's fighting Donald Cerrone this weekend.
That's going to be a good fight.
Woo! Are you fucking kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
That's what's the next? Co-main event.
So is Nick and GSP going to get in the ring? Or?
Well, GSP just had serious ACL reconstruction surgery. Yeah. And he had the one, I had both different kinds of surgery. And I'm very surprised that he elected to get the patella tendon graft. Which is, from what I understand, is not the best move because it can compromise the patella tendon because it takes a third away of the patella. There's a bunch of different ways to do it with the ACL. ACL is a real common injury. They can either take the hamstring, they take a big chunk of meat, and they reconstruct the ACL, which they have done before, and it has been successful. But that takes a long amount of rehab. Right. Or they use a cadaver. The cadaver is they have an Achilles tendon, which is a big, thick tendon, much bigger and thicker. And they stick that in, and it serves as a platform for your body, sort of scaffolding for your body to create new cells on it. So there's a couple different ways. And he went one of the ways it takes the longest time to rehab. The patella tendon graft, some people swear by it. Some, my doctor didn't. My doctor said that it compromises the front of the knee, that you can get, you know, a better effect with the cadaver graft. And I've had both done, and the one that I had with the cadaver graft healed much quicker. It was much easier, much less invasive. I was back to normal quicker. Everything about it was quicker. So I think he's in for a long rehab. So GSP, I think, is in for at least a 9-month rehab, and that's being conservative. He really probably should last 10 or maybe even a year. A year is a smart, calculated move because he doesn't need money. You know, he's a young man. It'd be good.
They're gonna let him
up.
Hold the belt that long?
No, they will not. They're gonna have an interim championship on February 4th. That's where shit gets hairy because GSP has to sit on the sidelines with a fucked up knee while Carlos Condit and Nick Diaz are going to war. That's gonna be chaos. That's 5 rounds for the interim title. So all that time, GSP has to fight with the demons of pushing it too fast because a lot of guys, when they get that ACL surgery, they fuck around. They feel good, so they start rolling real early. Like Ed Short Fuse Herman was one of the most recent ones. He got his ACL done. He starts rehabbing, and he's feeling pretty good, so he takes jiu-jitsu class or takes kickboxing class, whatever he was doing. Pop! It goes out again. Now you got to go through surgery again and go through the whole goddamn process.
That's crazy.
And he came through it, and he got out of the woods, but it's a 16-month process now. Now you're dealing with, you know, another 10 months on top of that. So whenever George and Nick Diaz get it on, who the fuck knows now? Now it's a matter of how smart does GSP play out the surgery? How much damage was there really? What about soft tissue? The soft tissue can make it difficult for him to shoot and might make shit swell up. Soft tissue is a lot of times the bigger issue than the actual ligaments themselves because they can replace the ligaments. They don't really replace soft tissue. It becomes like a real irritating problem. They even use like fake pads. They put fake pads inside of knees now, like synthetic pads. You know, a lot of dudes have fucked their knees up, man.
I have to see that fight, though.
Oh, fuck yeah, you have to. That's chaos, man. You know, the real question is, GSP is like this fucking goddamn super athlete, you know? GSP is like, you know, like one of the best athletes that we've ever seen in the UFC as far as like explosion, the ability to keep up a certain pace and pound guys and take guys down and implement his own game plan. But Nick Diaz has got the craziest fucking cardio the MMA world has ever seen. This dude swam.
This dude's a tough cat.
He's tough as shit. Bro, he swam from Alcatraz twice.
For fun.
Just shut the fuck up and sit down. You ain't willing to swim from Alcatraz twice. People don't even understand the amount of confidence that guy must have in his wind. In comparison to anybody else. Right. So he'll take you on a race that you can't complete. He'll go, okay, we're just going to run 9 miles an hour and see how long you can do this for. Because I could do it for a day. Right. You know, he could do it for a day. Crazy, he could run hills all day, then get on a bike and ride for a couple hours, then get in the ocean, swim. And that cardio that he has worked diligently to build up has become like an extra weapon that a lot of people don't recognize. But you see it in his fights, man. He takes dudes into these crazy battles. He talks shit to them. He gets them all emotional. And then by 5 minutes, they're fucking done. Yeah. And he's just warming up. Yeah. He's just warming up. He's like, what, bitch? What, bitch? You know, he's like in their face popping shots on them, hitting them 50%, and they can't stop it. And it's the most infuriating thing to them. You watch guys like implode mentally.
Yep.
And a big weapon that he's using is that crazy cardio. He's got some next level cardio.
That's what I tell people. He swam Alcatraz for
twice.
Fun. For fun.
For fun.
That's not even for training. That was for fun.
And you know what? That's the place where you really have to worry about great whites. That's where they fucking breed.
Oh, yeah.
They breed up there. Like, that's a real issue. Like, there's a lot of great
whites.
Also,
some of the cold. It's like
cold as fuck.
It's some of the coldest water you can get in North America.
It's coming down from Alaska, man. Yeah. It's cold as fuck. It's freezing.
That's funny.
And he's a bad motherfucker, dude. He's tough. There's a level of toughness that guy has that very few human beings will ever achieve. There's a level of just sheer toughness that you don't understand. You don't understand until you experience it, especially until you watch it live. You know, when I watched him fight BJ Penn live, you know, you get a sense. I mean, I've seen Nick fight. I've called a bunch of his fights in the his previous career in the UFC. But to watch him, like, first of all, he's not even fucking 30 yet. Okay, so he's not even in his prime yet. But I watched that performance that he put on against BJ Penn. I'm like, no, nobody ever dragged BJ Penn around like this before. No. Not standing up. You know, dudes have taken him down and held on to him like GSP and beat him up. Yeah. You know, that's what GSP did. But this is not what Nick Diaz did. Nick Diaz kept him up and beat him up. And nobody ever did that before. Just wore him out.
That was a tough fight because I was
hard
a fan.
To watch.
I'm such a fan of both of those
guys,
dudes. Yeah,
both guys.
And
BJ
love to me
BJ
is
BJ Penn, man.
I for me, BJ is Jordan, just because of what
one
he's
of the
done,
all-time greatest.
How he's gone up and down.
Yeah.
There ain't no fight. He's, you know, that's why some cats that I just can't. I mean, as much as I won't get in the octagon with any of them.
BJ is.
If you ain't gone up and down and moved around and fought, you know, the guy above you and the guy below you, you know, it's kind of like you ain't BJ Penn.
One thing about BJ is BJ's clean. You know, BJ's not taking juice to go up and wait. When BJ went up and weighed, he ate donuts. You know what I'm saying? BJ ate cheeseburgers and shit and fought Lyoto Machida with a big belly. He didn't give a fuck. Yeah. You know, he's legit, you know? Yeah. And so when you go back and you look at, like, all the fighters in, you know, that have ever competed in MMA and you look at who's been the most courageous, most willing to fight anybody, he's not a 170. He's so much smaller than guys like Anthony Johnson. It is hard to even wrap your head around the fact that they could ever be considered in the same weight class. Yeah. The fact that those guys can somehow or another be in the same weight class is utterly, completely ridiculous. And Johnson just moved up to 85 for his next fight, finally. But BJ's never really been a 170. He's really, his natural weight should probably be like 160, 165, somewhere around that. And he can cut to 155, but it's miserable. But he at 170, they're just too big. It's just a physical, like when he fought John Fitch, it was a good fight for the first two rounds. The third round, Fitch just overpowered him, over-wrestled him, got a hold of him, and beat him up for like the last few minutes of the fight.
Remember,
was just a beating. No, but BJ's an all-time great, without a doubt. That guy's a savage, you know? You go back and watch some of his early fights. Watch his fight with Diego Sanchez. Holy shit. When he got in that kind of shape, when he was with the Marinoviches, and he was just – apparently the training that they were putting him through, though, was, like, so bad. He couldn't get home. He couldn't pick up his baby. Like, he would get home from training, and he had nothing left. He had nothing. And they would just break him. Because the whole idea is your body's got to get the signal. Like, listen, bitch, we're doing this every day. You need to speed up these cycles. You need to get us on some, like, high-level shit right now. We need to pick up the pace. We need to fucking make our heart rate lower. We need to fucking make our muscle tissue regeneration quicker. And the only way to do that is to break dudes down, you know. And the guys like the Marinoviches, they'll put you through something that you wish you were dead. And so BJ got at the end of that, man, was just a super athlete. When he went out against Diego Sanchez.
That was crazy.
An in-shape BJ Penn like that? God damn that. BJ Penn with abs? That's scary as fuck. That's scary as fuck. But can't keep that going for so long. You can only keep that going for so long. That's hard. It's hard to keep that kind of pace, that wishing you were dead for 8 weeks out of every training cycle. You know? I mean, I'm just talking shit. I don't even appreciate it on the level that he has because he went through it. But that guy at that shape, in that shape, That BJ Penn I put up against almost anybody in the history of that division.
No doubt.
It's a crazy sport, man. It's the most guttural, real sport of all time, right? You've been ringside for a lot of them, man.
There was a period where I didn't miss one, you know what I mean? Until y'all started taking it overseas, I was there. I'm just a fan. I mean, the way that even happened was I was doing a show in Boston at, like, Tweeter Center or something. And Dana and Chuck Liddell walked by, and I really wasn't familiar with Dana yet, but I was like, Chuck Liddell, and he was like, yo, and he was like, Everlast, and Dana was like, oh, Everlast, you know, I was like, it's like, yeah, I'm Dana White, it was, you know, relatively soon after the takeover, you know what I mean, and he was just like, oh, any fights you come to, and I had gone to like one or two fights on my own, but I was like, sure, and I called him like a week later, like there was a fight, I was like, I'm gonna come to Vegas, and he put me ringside, and it was like, I was hooked, man, it was a wrap, you know what I mean, I was like, oh, man, this is the life.
Yeah, it's so fun to watch them live, man. To be right there and watch history.
I love watching like the Unleashed on Spike and be like, I'm there. I'm right. I'm there at that fight. I'm right there.
Fights are a lot MMA of great fights are one of the few things I can watch over again, even though I know the outcome.
I'm getting to probably a good 15, 20 of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, at least. Yeah. Somebody keeps going off, man.
That might be me, man.
We haven't figured out the culprit.
Well, I'm pretty sure this last one was me.
Yeah. The horrors of being connected to the world all the time. Is everything cool in the wonderful world of Everlast?
You know.
What is it like having an extra name? You know, I mean, I want to say a fake name because that's your real performance name. But
you know,
I've always just
if
been
you know me, you know, you call me by my. I'm just my folks call me Eric. Unless it's if somebody's comfortable calling me Everlast, like in a personal situation or Ev or E, whatever, it doesn't bother.
When you're at the store, do people say, "Hey, Eric"? Does anybody ever say hair?
Not if they don't know me.
It's always Everlast.
Unless yeah, yeah. Or Whitey Ford. A lot of people call me Whitey Ford because really? That album was called Whitey Ford. Yeah, so,
oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah, so I'm cool with that.
You cool with Whitey Ford or Everlast. Yeah. But you can't call you Eric until you get to know you.
You can call me that. I'm just saying. It's like not most people like gonna walk up to you like, "Hey, Eric, how are you doing?" You know, you're like,
I would think that the people
Eric, I love what it's like.
Do that,
Eric. I jump around.
Hey, Eric.
I would think they would want to do that to you know get themselves in deep quick. Like, listen, I know your real name, bro.
Yeah. Eric.
Do you have people go? Will you please jump for me or shit like that? Well,
no.
Apparently, you haven't spent too much time in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah.
To that test market town when they got everybody on fucking ether
in green boxes.
That's funny.
Yeah, indeed.
No, listen, I don't get much trouble.
Listen, man, thank you very much for doing this. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Hey, man, anytime,
it's been
dude.
An honor.
You know what I mean? I was getting hollered at on Twitter about it, like you need to do Joe's show, and I was just like, yeah, Joe, I need to do your show. What's up?
Everybody needs to buy this record. That's what's up. It's not a record anymore. The CDs now. CD. Is it on iTunes as well?
Yeah, it's on iTunes.
Where I got mine.
It's called Ungrateful Living.
Songs of the Ungrateful
Songs
Living.
Songs of the Ungrateful Living.
Yeah.
And the single that we played was I Get By. And
yeah.
I'm going to listen to that on the way home, man. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's an album, actually.
It's My House.
I know you heard it before. Dang. But it's true. Come on. What you afraid of? It's going to do you some good. All the girls that I loved before, they got a lot more than they bargained for. They got a lot more than they was anticipating. Started off loving, winded up hating. Remember back when we were very first dating, you said, baby, be patient, cause I'm all about waiting. I'm not your overnight sticking.
I love it.
You gotta prove your love, boy.
That's a fun really one. We're gonna shoot a video for it.
Yeah? Is that your next single?
No.
Yeah.
That'll probably be after the next one. I'm trying to shoot a video for a bunch of the songs, like even songs that ain't singles. You know what I mean? It's that era where you could just shoot a video and put it on YouTube. It doesn't have to be a single.
You can film it on your iPhone.
Yeah. It's an awesome time, man, to just put shit out there.
In certain ways, it is.
In certain ways, it's not.
In certain ways, it's not.
Well, in certain ways, it's not. It's for record sales, yeah. Right? Record sales kind of went out the window.
The problem is there's no moral connection to the stealing.
Right.
Like, I believe if people really understood that. Look, I mean, I'm working on a completely independent level here. I still spent probably a good $100,000 getting this record together and put out and all that. You know what I mean? And, you know, let alone any advertising or whatever else,
right.
Or publicist I got to hire or this or that or the other. You know, that's on top of that. You know what I mean? So it's like when you don't buy the music, you're hurt. It's like, you know, you're killing it off. You're going to, you know what I mean? So I'll keep making it, you know what I mean? But sooner or later, it's going to just be like, man, why bother? You know, I'll just make it for myself and give it to my homeboys and whatever, you know?
People don't feel that they're doing anything wrong because you don't feel anything. You click some links and then you get it and then
I used to make a joke like, yo, it's cool. As long as like when I come to you could download all my music for free. That's cool. As long as like, you know, hey man, just leave a key under the mat at your crib. And when I come to town, I can come make a sandwich and sleep on the couch and borrow the car and drive myself to the gig and come back afterwards, take a shower and have another sandwich before I leave town and we're good. I could live like that. You know what I mean?
If people would be so willing.
Yeah.
To be so generous.
That's at the least, man. I mean, throw me a buck.
Eric, you
know what I mean?
Can always come over to my house.
I heard the most retarded argument the other day on my message board about why pay-per-views, why you should be able to stream illegal UFC pay-per-views. And the guy said, if someone wants to call themselves the champion of the world, then everyone should be allowed to watch it. I'm like, what kind of a stupid fucking justification of that? Is that for stealing a product that someone spent millions and millions of dollars to create and produce for the reason to sell it to people who enjoy it and buy it willingly? But you think you should be allowed to steal it because the championship of the world should be free for everyone to see it? That is the most amazing justification. Like the fact that people were willing to paint the most ridiculous scenario possible, like that you would logically accept, just in order for them to not pay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can steal. There's nothing. It doesn't hurt them in the long run. You know,
it's the whole internet. It's like,
if I really enjoy it, I'll go out and buy it.
People
but
ask
I need to
me,
test it first.
Some people have asked me, like, you know, that question of if you had one wish or one thing you could do to improve the world, what would it be? And I tell people all the time, I'd completely erase any knowledge, history, or knowing of the internet whatsoever.
That's ridiculous.
I was like, because for every good thing you could find on the internet, I'll find you 1,000 like slimy, fucked up, dirty uses for the thing. You know what I mean? Immoral. Stealing. Yo, it used to, I forget, I hope I'm not stealing one of your bits here, because I might even be a Dave Chappelle thing where it's like, yo, there used to be where you didn't, like, if a dude liked to fuck pigs in high heel shoes, he had to keep that shit to himself back in the day. Yeah. You know what I mean? I know somebody else has said things of this nature.
A lot of people have. We all have, really.
But with the internet, it's like now they all are together and grouping and moving to a town near you so they can all fuck animals. You know what I mean? We were just talking about this.
Yeah. I don't think it's necessarily all bad, though. I think for everybody.
I didn't say all bad. There's a few really, I mean, there's a lot of really good, amazing uses for the technology. But for every one of those, there's 1,000 horrible, despicable, rotten ones.
I don't know if that's true. I agree with you that there's a lot of fucked up shit out there. Absolutely.
Life's going to be better when the lights go out, man. Trust me.
I don't think so.
A few guns.
I think we're
learn
be
how
okay.
to skin a deer.
I think the lights are
going to
go
out. And how to make jerky.
The lights are probably going to go on permanently. I think we're eventually going to evolve past this carbon life data stage and move into some sort of a symbiotic relationship with the internet. It's going to be some computer connection.
You're part of the Borg?
On, yeah.
Is that what
for
it is?
Real,
the Borg?
For real. It's 100%. It's going to happen. That's the direction.
Is that the right thing?
You got you got a titanium heart valve.
Yeah, I got alien technology.
You're talking
dude.
About Borg. And
yeah, dude.
That shit is real, right?
It's real, dude.
It
it's
is
as
gonna,
real as it gets, man.
There's going to be some time where you're going to be able to
real
download
Steve
yourself.
Austin shit right now.
You are, dude. How long is that going to last? Do you have to replace
Well, the
that
reason place? they went with the titanium is because it'll last forever. Like, a lot of older folks, they would use, like, even a pig valve.
Wow.
And if I had the pig valve, I wouldn't have to take the blood thinners, but those would also have to be, like, every 10, 15 years, you have to redo it.
Get a new pig.
And I ain't really like, trying to get cracked open.
How many times can you get cracked open? 9, 10?
At my age, it probably could. And if I lived a nice long life, it would have been at least 2 more.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, and I'm hoping, you know. I look at it like, you know, sooner or later, because just the history and what's going on me, I'm probably going to have some sort of surgery in that department again at some point.
Do you watch your diet?
To a certain degree. I'm not a nut. I mean, I'm actually, me and the wife are on a new, you know, health food kick right now. Not health food, but healthy food kick right now, trying to lose a little weight and get a little healthier.
I started drinking kale shakes every morning. My friend Kevin James, you know who he is, the actor, comedian dude from Zookeeper, he lost 80 pounds preparing for this MMA movie. He plays an MMA fighter, former college wrestler.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Good movie, man. Yeah. And Kevin lost a fuckload of weight. And one of the ways he did it was by drinking these kale shakes every day. He became a complete vegetarian. Everything vegetable-based, everything that he was eating. And he started off his day every day with shakes that was like a Vitamix blender. He would blend in cucumbers and kale and celery and like a pear and some ginger and blend it all up to this big, thick, green stuff, and then just drink it, because it's like way more vegetables than you would ever eat. You're never going to sit down and just eat all that in a serving. But boom, you get all the nutrients, you get all the, and it cleans out your whole intestinal tract. It moves everything along. And this motherfucker just started looking fantastic and dropping weight and just looking healthy. And so I started doing it. And I started doing it after I did this thing. It's amazing, man. You feel great. Like, you have good nutrients in your body. It's amazing how good your body will actually feel. But I'm such a self-sabotaging motherfucker. I like look at that kale shake, and then I know there's a little cabinet right there where there's some peanut butter and chocolate protein powder, and I'll throw a banana in there and some almond milk and some honey, and I'll make my protein drink, my morning protein drink, which is delicious, but not quite what I need. It's not what I need. What I really need is these vegetables, but there's a self-sabotage mechanism inside the head that like lets you know, yeah, but the indulgent thing is to have a yummy fucking protein shake right now.
I just don't understand how we've done all these crazy things with life, but we still couldn't figure out how to make something that really was good and healthy and wonderful for you taste just as amazing as like you talk about vegetarians, like, man, but every once in a while I just gotta have like a steak or a Five Guys burger or
I agree.
It's like what it is. I'm a carnivore.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that Five Guys burgers. I found out there's one in Thousand Oaks I go to. God damn, that place is good. Yeah. Oh, you get it with the jalapenos, the double cheeseburger with the jalapenos and bacon. That's son, come
about.
On.
I'm talking about it.
How could you not? What do you think? You're going to live forever? Do you not want to feel those moments? Not want to experience? Man. Just drink your kale shake and that. That's what's important. It's a balance. You got to give yourself little things, treats.
Like on my rider when I do a show, you know what I mean? Like there's, I'm not really crazy about like all these demands and shit, but there's one that I make sure the road managers get across to the tour club or promoter or whoever. That's this one's serious. There's got to be at least a 6-pack of ice cold Coca-Cola in glass bottles
and only yellow Skittles,
and that's it. That's my big, and a bottle of Jameson. That's usually my only other demand.
Just Coca-Cola
personally.
In glass bottles,
in a glass, in an ice cold in a glass bottle. That's awesome. That's one of them things. Like when you're drinking, it's like that's.
And you just like that while you're on stage, before you go on stage.
No, I have whiskey on stage most of the time.
How fucked up do you ever get on stage? You
not
ever get
that fucked
lit?
Up, no. I usually don't drink that much at all before a show. I'll have maybe a drink. And then whatever I'm drinking on stage, usually I'm sweating out, like, pretty much as I'm
drinking. Quickly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, people don't really understand that. How can you drink a couple shots and then do a
then
show? And
even
then
after
sober?
The shows, I can, because the adrenaline's been going and I've already had a few drinks, but it's sweated out of me, you kind of get a tolerance. I don't really ever get that drunk anymore. I drink whiskey like a grown man should drink whiskey now. You know what I mean? I get a little, oh, this is where I should be, and let me chill right now. This is the perfect spot.
That is a man's drink, too. So, like, if you're going to say what's a man's drink, you know, you can fuck around with tequila. Tequila probably means you're a little irresponsible. You know, you might not have the best conversational skills. And I say, what's a grand?
Tequila is like the date rape pill. The date rape pill of alcohol. You know?
Yeah, more people like blame fucked up shit on tequila than any other booze. Do you ever see that Jim Brewer bit? Jim Brewer had a bit about milk mixing alcohol, a hilarious bit. A bit about his stomach is like a party, and he's like throwing all these big different things, you know, like a German beer and American beer, and you know, he's throwing all this shit down, and then at the end of the night, tequila comes in, and it's like all these Mexicans showing up to the party going, come on, we're not gonna stand no trouble. Why don't you let us in? And he's like, no, fuck this, everybody out. Not that way, the way you came in. This is bit. It's a fucking funny bit, man. But that's what it gets down to, the tequila. Like, yeah, that's the most irresponsible beverage is tequila. A whiskey is, you guys want to have some whiskey? Let's have a glass of whiskey. You know, we can sit and have a glass of whiskey like men and sip some whiskey.
Yeah.
Even if you want to do shots of whiskey. It's a goddamn cowboy drink. You want to, you know.
Yeah, people get shot over that.
Over whiskey, you know, yeah.
Duels get challenged over, with whiskey.
Isn't there some places, there's some places in the country where duels are still legal. I think it's Arizona. I think Arizona's loked out, bro. Arizona doesn't give a fuck. You know, they'll put you in pink underwear and make you work in a chain gang.
Yeah, that guy's funny.
Sheriff Arpaio.
Yeah, that guy.
He's funny if you hate freedom. That guy's an anti-civil liberties piece of shit.
Yeah, I think he's hilarious. I mean, I'm not kinda condoning it, but putting guys in pink underwear.
It is hilarious. If you don't get arrested. It is definitely hilarious.
That's some pretty like crazy shit, you know what I mean?
He's sending a message, and overall, he's probably right, right? Overall, the mass amount of those fucking people need a kick in the ass.
Yeah, you know, you're in jail. Something got you there. I mean, I'm sure there's some guys there that are there wrongfully accused and got the bad end of the system.
Unfortunately,
but
huh?
Most of those guys were doing some meth or making some meth and did something that they fucked up somehow.
How many people in jail you think are from meth?
I'd say a good at least half. At least half.
Half is meth related.
Half.
Maybe violence induced by meth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how many of those arrests, like if someone gets arrested for some crazy violent crime, do they test him for meth or do they ask him?
All the cops episodes I've seen, they ask them outright, are you doing meth? And most of them say, yeah. I think it's like a truth serum to a certain degree.
Man, when you watch that show, you ever watch that show Breaking Bad?
No, but I've been. It's one of them things that I've been meaning to get on,
God,
and like
damn.
iTunes it on the next tour bus ride.
I got addicted to it while I was getting my right tattoo. I watched it every time on the iPad. And God damn, that show is good.
Yeah, Danny Boy swears that show is amazing.
It's all about meth, man. You see, you peer into that world. You're like, how extensive is this? What a crazy virus this is on the American public, this crazy meth problem. And you wonder, how deep is this? How close is this to me? Is this your neighbor?
Dog the Bounty Hunter makes like a whole franchise business out of like ICE's meth.
Yeah.
Like all his crime, all that stuff is ICE related.
Yeah, they apparently have a real
everybody. They want everybody. Either they beat up their woman or they're doing meth. It's one or the other.
Isn't that fucked up that that shit made it to Hawaii? That it's a bigot problem on a paradise island. I mean, Hawaii is a goddamn paradise. Like, when people don't realize, like, you watch that show Lost. Oh, they're on paradise. You know where they really are? Hawaii.
Yeah.
That's where they are. That's what it looks like. Hawaii looks like that. It's a goddamn tropical rainforest that's a volcano that just erupted out of the middle of the ocean. And it's amazing.
Yeah.
And meth made it there. Yeah. That's incredible. Meth makes it everywhere. Yeah. What a...
Well, motherfucking... Meth, you know, those cats will keister anything, man. You know what I mean?
I had a buddy whose girl had a meth problem. It was a horrifying thing to watch, man. Scary to watch someone who's like a meth person. Like, you're like, it's like almost like a vampire or something. You got to get away from them. You got to move away.
They stay up long enough, too. They start seeing like shadow people and crazy bugs on their skin and all kinds of craziness, dude.
And it's nuts that it's made out of cold medicine. They gotta
What's nuts to me is that, like, you're doing a drug and, like, you've lost 6 teeth already quickly on this drug and you just decide that you're cool with that?
I think it's just
I would like to think at some point I would find myself going like, yo, that's like the fifth tooth of mine to just not fall out, rot away.
You would think that, but I think it's just like that aquatic worm and that grasshopper. I think that meth gets into your system, and then all of a sudden, it's almost like it's a symbiotic relationship. You need that meth. They need it every day. If they don't get it every day, they're fucked. Like, when you're in the throes of addiction, you have a relationship with this fucking chemical, whatever the hell it is. You know, it is just like it's a failed symbiote is what it is. It's a parasite that's a failed symbiote. It's forcing you into a relationship.
Jesus.
Powerful Everlast. That's the end of the show. Let's just end it right there. It's perfect. We'll let the universe decide that 6 p.m. is the wrap-up time.
Yes, sir.
This has been like a 3.5-hour podcast or something.
Well, you're going to edit that up, man.
No, we don't.
Oh, you're going to leave the government shut down in there and everything?
First of all, it's live. It's always streamed live, so we can't edit it. And then, because people can stream it. I think that's the most responsible way to do it. Yeah. I think if you say something, you should say what you believe. And if you say it, everybody should be able to hold you accountable for it.
There you go.
So there. And that way...
Let me just remember all the people I made fun of today.
Listen, you're a beautiful human being, and I'm glad we're friends. And I'm glad to hang out with you. I've always had a good fucking time with you. You're a bad motherfucker when it comes to music. I'm a huge fan, and I'm glad we're friends, man.
Likewise, brother. Thank you for having me in anytime, man. I'm local.
Let's do it again, baby. We're doing it again. Songs.
Bring me in next time with, like, somebody else, too. Like, I want, like, Patton Oswalt or one of these cats, man, because I'm a fan.
How about you tell me who you want, and I'll organize. That's a great idea.
Ice House Chronicles.
That's a great idea for future shows, too, to bring in guys that are fans with guys. Yeah, like, guys that we know that are fans of each other. That's a great idea, man.
Yeah, dude.
Dude, Patton Oswalt's dude.
David Tell, any of those kind of dudes. Almost, you know, I follow a lot of comedians on Twitter, man.
I know
just
you
because
do.
that's the fun. I think that's Twitter for comedians to me is like they win. They just win because
we have a good time on Twitter. It's the most fun. I love it. I love Twitter, man. My Twitter feed is super positive. It's unbelievably positive.
I just love writers that just put random shit out there like just they wouldn't necessarily put on whatever show they're working for. Or,
right. They just fuck around and say something on Twitter. Yeah, you can get away with everything on there. But it's just, if you put out good energy, though, man, you can collect a group of people that also have positive energy.
Oh, see, I'm stupid, too, man. OG Everlast. That's a Twitter of my address. I never promote it, so I just said it. I never say it on anything.
Well, I've been pushing it all day, so I guarantee you'll get a bunch of new Twitter followers. Everybody, follow
and
OG Everlast.
Yeah, tweet more.
I think I got 600 followers now.
Tweetings. I love tweeting, man.
I got like 600 followers.
No, you got more than that. I'll tell you right now what you got. I'll tell you what you have right now. Hold on a second. Here we go. You have 8,296.
Awesome.
You got more than 200.
Tweet more, though. You tweet like once.
Yeah.
I used to have my Twitter address used to be Mr. Whitey Ford. I had like 30, 40,000, and then I just got frustrated one day. I quit Twitter.
Why?
Because I quit Twitter, man.
Well, what was it? Something fuck you up?
No, just I quit everything. I was just like, fuck all this shit. It was like the equivalent of throwing your pager out the window back in the day. You know what I mean? It was just like...
I'm tired of people reaching you.
I was tired of it.
Leave me the fuck alone.
I was tired of it.
You know what?
I might quit Twitter again, but now it's OG Everlast.
I'm going to bring you back. If you quit, I'm going to bring you back. It's okay. This is my feelings on all this shit. There's a lot of negativity involved in the internet, but if you continue to push positivity, I really do believe that's the majority of what you get back.
Absolutely.
And it benefits everybody. It benefits me. I benefit a lot from my Twitter followers. I would never quit. There's no fucking way. I enjoy being in contact with all these different people. I enjoy this medium. I think it's an amazing moment in time. I learn a lot from people, man. People send me tweets and links and shit, and I go, God damn. I mean, I learn about scientific experiments. I learn about psychological experiments. I learn about art. I learn about music. I learn about shit that
I've never heard. I follow you.
Well, I retweet everything they send me, man. Anything that gets my interest, I retweet it. And there's never been a resource like that before where you have this amazing direct communication with everybody. With this podcast and with Twitter, like, you know, I've never had this sort of a communication with people. And I firmly believe, I really do believe this, that you can control the vibe of that. And, you know, and right now the vibe of it that we're putting out is like, you know, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. But the ethic behind it all is be a good person, be a cool person, be fun to hang out with, be nice to people. You can push out that positive energy, and it's not fruity, and it's not weak. It's love, and you have to be strong to really put out love. And you can really put that out, and you can put that out to 500,000 people or 1,000,000 people, and they realize that, and they become accustomed to this wave, and that's the shit that can change the world. The shit that can change the world is people just accepting a different operating system, accepting a different wavelength, and you put that shit out there. You put that shit out there on Twitter with OG Everlast. And right. Red Band.
Dude, did you think of that in the flotation chamber?
Yeah, I thought of that right now.
That was beautiful, man.
Thank you.
That
it's was just beautiful. In the moment. I'm in the moment, baby.
It was beautiful.
I'm inspired by Everlast.
It was beautiful. There was beauty in that.
Well, listen, coming from a man who wrote Everlast songs from the ungrateful living of the ungrateful living. I'll take
it. It's not hard to be hard. It's hard to show love.
It is hard to show love. It is. It's difficult to show weakness.
It's not gangster to be hard. It's gangster to show love.
It's one of the reasons why good-looking people are very rarely funny. It's because they don't have the ability to make fun of themselves. They don't understand that sometimes
you've
got to
take a
knock.
But you're such a handsome man.
I'm a little goofy looking. Yeah. You know, lost a lot of hair. I'm getting a little fat as I got older. You know, got some questionable tattoos. It's all good. I got pouty lips, though, and I got a big dick and a lot of personality, like Joey Diaz says. Cocksuckers, by the way, New Year's Eve has just changed. Duncan Trussell dropped out because he got some sort of a virus in his vagina. Duncan Trussell is no longer at our New Year's show.
Sure,
on a 3-day notice, Duncan has a vagina problem. Please,
can I do 5
minutes? Tweet Duncan and let him know that there's an issue with backing out on his loyal fans for New Year's Eve for some vagina-related incident. How dare you, Duncan? But Duncan will still be at the Chicago Theater with me and Joey Diaz, a.k.a. Mad Flavor. And that is January 27th. Don't sleep because tickets are almost sold out. Chicago Theater, January 27th. They just opened up the top balcony. Scramble for those tickets, bitches. It's going to be crazy. Duncan Trussell will be with that. We're going to allow him to skip out on his New Year's obligation like some sandy vagina little wench man, little sad boy, unable to control his own destiny, lacking the testicular fortitude to enforce his own agenda. Everybody's got to get their loads out somehow. So I don't hate on Duncan, but I need you to know that what you did is weak as fuck, and people will not forgive you. You missed out on our fantastic 2012 New Year's experience. There's less than a year left to the end of the world, according to the Mayan calendar, and what do you want to do? You want to hang out with your chick in San Francisco? Tweet this motherfucker and let him know what's up. Anyway.
And I have a show Friday at the Ice House.
Ice House Friday?
IceHouseComedy.com. Search for Death Squad.
And there's some funny people on the show that we can't mention the name because they're contractually obligated to not promote.
But I'm
going to
get super high with Brody Stevens.
Oh, it's super high you or super high? Okay. Exactly. So that guy might be. What?
What? That's
anyway.
Double.
Follow Death Squad on iTunes. That's the iTunes podcast that contains all the Death Squad Chronicle or the Ice House Chronicles, which is the podcast that we all do with all the comics that come and do shows here at the Ice House. They're some of the best podcasts ever, I think. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think they're great. It's like hanging out in a green room during a live comedy show.
It's a real green room experience. Everybody's coming. Everybody's lit. Joints are being passed around. Everybody's telling crazy stories from their childhood. I mean, it's great shit, and it's free. It's all free.
Yep.
Thanks to the Fleshlight for sponsoring the podcast. Go to joerogan.net and click on the link for the Fleshlight. Enter in the code name Rogan, and you will get 15% off number one sex toy from him. And thank you to Onnit.com. That's Onnit.com. Makers of Alpha Brain, Shroom Tech Sport, Shroom Tech Immune, and New Mood, all these different cognitive enhancers that are available online at onnit.com. Click on the link, enter in the code name Rogan, and get yourself 10% off. Thanks to Everlast, my friend, for showing up. And thanks to him for putting out his album independently. And you get this, shit on iTunes. You can get the, where's your website? Amazon. Do you have a website?
Martyr Inc.
Martyr Inc. Dot com,
yeah.
Y-R.
M-A-R-T-Y-R.
M-A-R-T-Y-R.
I-N-C.
Man, martyr's a tough word to spell.
Or yeah. Martyr, actually it's martyr underscore.
Yeah, you need to change
Inc.
that. I noticed
yeah.
that.
Yeah, somebody else had it and doesn't even use it.
Martyr underscore Inc. Dot com?
Yeah, yeah. Martyr Inc.
Just Google okay.
like
Everlast.
Murder Inc. but Martyr Inc.
Well, just get it on iTunes. Don't be so averse to Apple products.
Or Amazon.
Songs of the Ungrateful Living. Get that shit.
And this is a song called Gone From Good From It.
And this is the end of the podcast. We love you, Dirty Freaks, and we'll see you next week when it will be a new year. Wanna be? It will be. A new year. 2012 is the next time I'm gonna see you. I love you guys. Don't change. Or do. Depending on how you feel, you should do.
I got a dope fiend lean, got a cocaine pain. I got a vodka dick itch, I got shit for brains. Got a hard luck woman, got a few good friends. Got a couple nice hustles that'll get you some ends. Got an old man's soul, got a heart of gold. Got a brand new shovel, dig me out of this hole. Got a whole lot of nothing, I'm ready to give. I need a whole lot of loving, girl, I'm eager to live. It go one for the money, two for the show. I got a one-trick pony, you can ride her slow.